The McElroy brothers are not experts, and their advice should never be followed. Travis insists he's a sexpert, but if there's a degree on his wall, I haven't seen it. Also, this show isn't for kids, which I mention only so the babies out there will know how cool they are for listening. What's up, you cool baby?
One, two, three, four.
It's the start of something beautiful. A small acquaintance has blossomed. It's ripened into a precious friendship. It feels like life. It's better with you. My life. It's better with you. This is true. It's better with two. My life. It's better with you.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to My Brother Mean Advice Show for the Modern Era. I'm your oldest brother, Justin McElroy.
What up, Trav Nation? It's me.
No.
We don't let Griffin go.
What? No, episode 700 today, guys.
Yeah.
This is my thing. New leaf.
Hey, Justin.
New leaf.
You can pry Trav Nation from my cold, dead, but never dying because I'm the undying leader of Trav Nation, according to the pamphlets we put out.
Yeah.
And so good luck.
There's a big metal statue of Travis that when he dies becomes the legal ruler of Trav Nation.
Well, I'll inhabit the statue.
Right. There's a flame that never goes out. It's going to be so sick. What's up, Trav Nation? It's me, Griffin McElroy. Justin, I want you to know this is a two submarine key. We're playing diplomacy right now. If you want to take down Trav Nation, it's going to have to be a two-on-one gambit, and I am not there yet. We are actively selling merch in our merch store right now about Trav Nation. There is no way I'm going to blow that
up. Listen.
Uh-huh.
We thought, some of us thought that episode 700 might be enough of a turning point.
Okay.
That it would be the moment to bring about a coup in Trav Nation.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was always half-hearted, Trav. It was always
There's half-hearted. A knock coming on your door soon, J-Man. I'm sorry about that. Like, hey, it's not, can I tell you? It's a dead drop kind of thing. Like, I didn't
you don't know
trigger
how to stop
it. You triggered it. It's a dead man's trigger. The second you say...
Gross point blank.
You say the C-O-U-P word.
Yeah.
Gross point blank.
If you said I said cup weird, and a Trav Nation agent... did come to my house.
Trav Nation missionary, please. Griffin, we don't like
Trav Nation volunteer.
Thank you.
Welcome to episode 7.
Guys, we thought it would be really funny to do like a 700. In discussing, like, here's
don't
another.
Don't say we.
I thought about, in discussing the, hey, here's a big round number, a clean hundo, should we do something?
Months ago. Definitely planning it.
I will say I've been listening to podcasts for a long time.
Yeah.
And when I will say this, that when I dip into a podcast and I see 700 episodes, my reaction is still like, you know what I mean? It seems like too many.
There's something plucky. Like there's something plucky and like kind of nostalgic about 600. Cause you see a 600 and you're like, wow, they're still at it. 700 is starting to get a little bit like, still at it?
Why isn't this a TV show?
Yeah.
Yet? You know
well,
what I mean?
Like, again.
Why is this not?
Yeah.
Again.
We did that, technically speaking.
We did do that.
We did some webisodes.
I was thinking a 700 club bit would be fun. And then I realized that no one would know what that is. And the people who did wouldn't like it.
Yeah, that's true.
So that's a loser.
I was thinking we could talk about the new Avatar live action TV show. And what does that have to do with 700, you ask? Nothing. I'm just very excited.
Yeah.
For the first adaptation, the first live action adaptation of Avatar The Last Airbender.
I will hear about that when you watch the first live action Avatar.
Sorry, what?
The first live action Avatar, James Cameron's Avatar, which is the first live action Avatar.
We'll see.
Okay. Hey, Justin,
does
Avatar The Last Airbender appear in Avatar? Because if so, and I've somehow managed to miss that information all these years, boy, is there egg on my face.
That'd be kick-ass.
I have an exciting treat for you guys.
Oh, boy.
Because I have been in England. I don't know if you knew this.
Yeah.
As they would say
in England. I went to England.
Uh-huh.
And
I'm picking up a hint of
the King's English. Thank you. Thank you.
I noticed you are podcasting on the other side of the road. So that explains a lot.
And I have a great game for you guys because I really got immersed in the culture, really soaked it up.
Yeah.
So I have a great game for you. I don't want to thank David for helping me to pull this list together. He's a British friend. I have a list of British television shows.
Fuck yeah.
And I have a list of British television shows that I made up that do not exist. So I'm going to give you guys some titles.
Okay.
And you're going to tell me if it is a show that I made up or is a real British television program.
Okay.
Are you ready for this game?
Yeah, I'm feeling pretty confident.
I'm feeling not. I got Doctor Who and Fawlty Towers. Are you going to say either of them?
Okay, here we go. Ready. It ain't half hot, Mum.
It ain't half hot, Mum?
Oh.
It ain't half hot, Mum.
That's instantly feel less confident.
That's not a show.
I'm going to say.
That is a real, actual television program. It's only Marriage, Love.
That's not.
That right. Actually feels very real to me.
I made that one up.
Son of a gun.
Okay.
Oh, no. It's Selwyn Froggitt.
One more again?
Now, I should warn you guys. I find the ones I made up really delightful, too. So do not think this is a tell. They're all really good.
Oh, no.
It's Selwyn Froggitt. Froggitt.
I think that's real. I think it's real.
Yes, that is a real program.
What is that? You don't have any. You didn't look up deets on Oh No, It's Selwyn Froggitt.
I mean, I can. I just have a lot of titles here. It was a sitcom from the 70s.
I think we can contextualize
from 74.
This is not, guys. I was assuming like kids animated show about a frog that teaches kids how to tie knots or something. But no, this is a big man. This a is huge a man.
Big man in the city.
No, he's big
hapless,
man in the city.
But good natured. That is real. Selwyn Froggitt. Wow, fab, groovy.
That's fake.
That's real.
Fake.
Real. That's a real game show about trivia, retro trivia. Gimbal.
It's called Wow Fab Groovy. This is the only three. Everybody has three buttons.
Wow,
and if you
button,
press the wrong
fab
one.
Button and groovy button.
No, I'm sorry. That was fab.
I'm sorry.
That one was fab.
That was not groovy. Baby.
Hello.
Fake.
Real.
Real as heck.
Guys, I knew
that one.
You knew that one? That one was. Yeah. That's a British sitcom that ran for 10 years.
Awesome.
Okay, guys.
There was one you made up, I know, because you started to say it, and then you skipped it to go to LOLO, and I want to hear the made up one.
I went back up to LOLO.
Let it hop around, Trav.
The Black and White Minstrel Show. Now, you know I didn't make that up, but I will ask you guys, how long did the Black and White Minstrel Show run in the United Kingdom until what year?
Oh, jeez, man.
I'm going to say, hey, Justin, taking a big swing here, 25 years, ran until 1990.
I'm going to say 16
years.
No,
guys.
Ended in 2003.
It ended in 1978.
Oh, okay.
Guys, it ended in 1978, though.
Yeah. Not bad.
Hey, y'all. No. We stopped.
And LOLO.
We don't.
Selwyn Froggitt.
Gimbal Gumbert School for Wayward Boys.
Now that's
Justin.
Fake.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, did you just try to make it be real?
Did you just make a wish? I looked on IMDb one last time.
I've actually now reached the point where I've convinced myself that no one has ever titled something blanks, blanks, School for Wayward Boys except us.
That's 100%.
Yeah, we retroactively.
Wayward Boys don't need their own school. Like, it's wild to think.
Okay, next one. Billy Bunter of Greyfriars School.
True.
That's real.
That's real. Correct. Engineering announcements for the radio and television trade.
That sounds like a real Justin goof.
Fridays on the WB, the British WB.
The WB?
That's real?
Yeah.
20 years, guys.
20 whole years.
20 big years. Eventually, they had to hang it up in 1990.
Do you think 1990, when the internet was invented, that TV show was like, all right, guys, We're done. Someone else has the internet's taking the ball on this one. We have other ways of announcing stuff to these industries.
The Vicar of Dibley.
That's real.
Travis said that so confidently, I cannot disagree.
The Palfrey of Westminster.
Oh.
The Palfrey? What's that?
The Palfrey of Westminster. Mr. Palfrey of Westminster.
Oh.
So it's a name. Fake. Mr. Palfrey of Westminster.
That's fake, Juice. You can't change the title.
It's real. Mr. Palfrey of Westminster. That is the real title of a real program.
Okay, well, I'm calling a mistrial on that question.
Dad's Army?
Strike it. What?
That's real.
Dad's Army is real. That's fair. Fat men can't hunt.
Now hold on. This could, Travis, hold on, don't answer yet, because this is some, we're in like Yomi territory.
Listen, guys, at this point, we're playing hollow chess. I'm doing
everything
I can.
This is 5D turbo chess, because this could be a quadruple feint, because you think, there's no way Justin would say that, but then you think, Justin knows we would think that about Justin.
Justin, could you say it in a British accent? Because the way you said it.
Fat men can't hunt. Nope, can't. There's no good letters
fat
in there for my
hunt.
Accent. Hello, ow, ar, ooh.
Hello.
Hello.
Ow, ar,
ooh. That's fake, Juice. This is a double bluff.
That's a real one. A group of overweight Brits live as hunter-gatherers in the Namibian desert. I do wonder if there was a moment where Mad Max Fury Road was filming right next door. They were like, we'll look out for you. We are the fat men they said could not hunt, but here we are hunting. Okay, I just have a few more. Some mothers do have them.
Some mothers do have them?
A-V-E-M. Some mothers do have them.
Real.
Fake.
It is real. It is a British sitcom that ran for 3 seasons.
I am dirty dog shit.
Accident
at this game.
Prone Frank Spencer fails to navigate the simplest tasks of daily life, much like Griffin McElroy attempting to play this game. Okay, guys. These last two are really hard. Last few are really hard. Okay.
Okay.
What's Huey done?
Is it D-O-N-E?
Yes.
Okay.
This one's real.
Fake.
Absolutely fake. Made up. What's Huey done?
God.
At this point, I'm just going to guess the opposite of whatever Griffin said.
I don't like that. That's not fun, though. Sports Anorak of the Year.
Sports what?
Sports Anorak of the Year.
I don't know
that's
what that
real.
Word. You keep saying fucking word. Like, you keep saying words I don't know.
Anorak is like a sweater.
Sports sweater of the year?
I think so.
About why would they name it
Why
that?
Would they feature that?
They have great sweaters over there, man. I don't know what to tell you. They also call them jumpers sometimes.
I mean, I just Googled it, and Travis is right. It's a parka.
I know, it is. I don't know why it would be this. It's not me. I didn't make it up. It's
no,
real.
Clearly.
It's real. I don't know why it is that. God bless heaven's druggist.
Fake.
Real.
It's fake. Griffin got that.
Yeah! I'm on the board.
The Fall and Rise of Reginald Perrin.
Real.
The Fall and Rise?
The Fall and Rise of Reginald Perrin.
Real.
Real.
That's a real one. Good job, guys.
I've
and
got
lastly, My Father, the Prime Minister.
Oh, that fit. Oh, my God. It feels too much like My Mother, the Car.
Yeah.
Or
My Date with the President's Daughter.
First Kid. I'm going to say real.
I'm going to say fake.
It is fake. I made that one up.
Yes!
Congratulations, Travis.
I mounted a real comeback there.
You swept Telly Title Tellers, my name of this game that I revealed.
I love it. That's a good one. There can't be that many more funny named British TV shows.
Brits, you know how to get at me. If you got some good ones, hit me up. This is an advice show. This is an advice show, and we're going to help some people. If you need help, email mbmbam@maximumfun.org. I recently moved to a new part of town, and so I have a new grocery store. In an attempt to ingratiate myself to an employee there and maybe make a friend, I made a joke about having that dog in me.
Hmm.
Huh. Since then, this employee has asked me, "You got that dog in you?" And I panicked and barked in response. Brothers, this has been going on for months.
Mm-hmm.
They asked me if I've got that dog in me. And I bark in the grocery store. Is there any way I could get out of this joke? Or have I made my dog bed and I just got to sit down, stay? As from Adopt, Don't Shop in Hilltop Apple. Okay. It's
They're
really
so
important. when you're trying to make new friends and you're trying to meet people, and I think we've all fallen into this, it's really important that you try to act like the person that you are and not the person that you guess that person would like. So you made a read on that person. You're like, this seems like the kind of person that's really going to dig if I say I got that dog in me. And that person's like, kindred spirit. Excellent.
You just assume.
Right.
That original. No, I'm interrogating you.
Oh, you're interrogating me. Okay, please.
Can't you tell by his body posture, Justin? He's just entered.
He does. He does have a very like bad cop look.
I'm going to be good cop. I'll be good cop. Go ahead, Kevin.
You just assume everyone's going to love original flavor juice. Everyone's going to come.
I don't.
But you have to make everyone happy and like you.
Yes. This is.
Hey, Justin, I like you just the way you are.
Thank you.
And if you admit that you did the crime, it's not going to change the way I feel about you at all.
If you meet Justin in public in this setting, you're going to get a very mellow, very chill, like very all the rough edges sanded off, right?
Yeah.
I've got about 10 minutes of good normal person material that I can pull off, right? I would not employ a phrase like I've got that dog in me, even though it would make me instantly memorable.
Right.
Right. I would.
You're hearing yourself say it now and be like, wait, I'm wrong because this kicks ass. I have a friend for life and also a go-to call and response.
Fuck. At the fucking grocery store.
Now, there is also a chance here. I'm trying to think of like when this joke would be employed. And maybe you're like, hey, you're new to the story, you don't know where everything is. You ask that person like, hey, where's like the dog food? And they're like, oh, you're looking for dog food. And you're like, yeah, I got that dog in me. And now they're thinking this is like a shaggy dog situation where maybe perhaps, literally, they're worried about you.
Yeah.
That you have a dog.
100%. It was not because they wanted to buy dog food. They probably checked out with, I'm going to say, maybe they were preparing for a Super Bowl party. And in doing so, they bought a dozen packages of
condoms.
Of Little Smokies.
Oh, okay.
Just a little Pepperidge Farm, little sausages ready to go. And they were probably like, wow, that's a lot of Little Smokies that you're about to eat. And they said, I got that dog in me. That's the way to employ that phrase.
I'm starting to suspect I don't know when the phrase, I've got that dog in me, might be employed.
Yeah, it's not when you're referring to having actual dog-like characteristics.
No, I'm realizing
that
now.
Yeah, I shit on the floor.
But I also didn't think it was, I'm going to eat 12 packages of Little Smokies by myself.
I do you guys have relationships of this ilk? Now, Griffin, I know you're probably still establishing them. Trav, do you have any in your area that you have like that are patterned responses like this? Situations where you see someone at a store you go to and you have like a beat or a routine.
I wouldn't.
I'll give you time to think because I have a lot. There's my lady at El Ranchito.
Why didn't you just ask yourself that question, Justin? Well, why did you
do
ask
you want
me?
One of us to ask you
well,
that question?
I gave you the thought starter and then I'll answer the question. Then you can answer the question as well. Cause I got my lady at El Ranchito that said every time she sees me, she's like, I know, not so many chips because they send a lot of chips. And I had to say, like, guys, a lot of these chips are going to waste. Please don't send in so many chips. I'm here every week. And they're like, okay, no problem. So that's kind of our back and forth is she says, I know, not so many chips. And then she doesn't give me as many chips.
Yeah. You're little chips, Justin, to them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Justy little chips.
Mm-hmm. There's the guy at the liquor store that calls me Mr. Four Roses. That's fine.
Did you walk in there with four roses one time?
I just buy four roses there all the time. And I buy the biggest bottle they have because I don't like going to the liquor store that much.
Have you thought about saying, please, Mr. Four Roses is my father?
What is four? Oh, I'm sorry. Is four roses?
It's a whiskey. It's a whiskey.
Okay.
Yeah.
So. I thought you were making floral purchases at the liquor store.
That
every time
so
you
cool
went there.
Yeah, yeah, that would be cool, actually.
The story of the dad who buys four flowers at the liquor store every week when he goes there is a short story.
It's heartwarming.
I actively go outside and thank my sanitation workers when they take my trash.
Yes, that's
they
huge.
Love that.
Yeah. Everyone loves being thanked.
Griffin,
I don't have any interactions with people more than once.
Do you miss that? Did you have that in Austin? Did you have like a little community there that you...
Yeah, man. I had like, friends and stuff.
Cool.
But I didn't, COVID was hard on.
Yeah, it was. COVID ruined a lot of our a lot of stuff.
A lot of my gimmicks. Like, I don't even remember a lot of them. There was the Planet Fitness when I would walk in there and they would throw a medicine ball at me as soon as I came in, but I would never know what the weight of the medicine ball was going to be. Mm. And so it was always a gamble of like, do I catch it or do I get out of the way? That was Tony who did that at the Planet Fitness in Austin.
Wow.
That was sort of a game that we played.
I had Larry at the post office downtown near the one on Veterans Memorial, the main branch that that's where my PO box is.
Yeah.
And he would get mad at me every time I came in because I hadn't come in frequently enough to collect the packages and they'd been
sorry. Yeah. I think we all have had that for when we had PO boxes at varying times. The number of just withering looks I've received from our nation's post office workers for the sheer number.
What is happening on this show?
What do you mean?
Like, people write in for advice. They ask, they wrote that the funniest thing I've ever heard, which is I made the joke, I got that dog in me, and now they say, I got that dog in you, and I'm forced to bark. And you guys are like, let me tell you about how I get chips at a restaurant, and I get too much mayo.
Trav, think really fucking carefully right now. Think about the fucking razor's edge that you, Travis Patrick McElroy the First, are dancing on right now. Do you realize you didn't take out a loan from the bank. You robbed the bank and you had all this money in your hands and you're wobbling down the street and coins are spilling out. You're like, back on target, everybody. Keep on task.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
I'm just saying we could be discussing what to do instead of barking.
There's nothing to do.
Maybe there's nothing to do.
Here's what you do. Rules. Ask me. Griffin, ask me. You got that dog in you?
Hey, you got that dog in you, Trav?
Not anymore.
Bad.
Bad.
Not today.
Bad.
I'm not today. Feeling a little down.
No,
what about you?
You do have that dog in you. It's okay to have, this moment of regularity in this person's life and in your life, it brings you both joy. There's one thing that you know is going to work out. And if it's this guy comes in, he's going to say something about having the dog in you. That's great for everybody. We love this regularity. It's
okay,
good.
Then if you're looking for a new friend, how do you elevate, I got that dog in me? Do you have that dog in you? Let's go to a dog park together, by which I mean hang out.
Now, this is cool. Actually, if you can, next time you go to check out, ask him first. Hey, you got that dog in you? And then see what happens.
Do you want some of my dog in you? Wait.
No. Do you want me to put my dog in you?
Woof, woof.
Woof, woof. Here comes the dog. Hey, do you all want me to do a WikiHow segment joke?
Yes, please.
Yeah. Sure.
Great.
I mean, this is 700.
If you have one ready.
The 700th one. Thank you, Scotty, for sending this in. It's a big one. And it's how to fake that you know about football.
Ooh.
This is maybe coming in maybe a week or two late. But
no, this is a good time to start because you don't want to fake like you know football at the Super Bowl. Too high stakes.
Yeah, you get some practice in with some low stakes games.
I'm on a fucking real tight swivel with this article. If it tries to get out of line and teach me about football,
yes,
I'll be furious.
Uh-oh. I mean, let's skip step one, which is learn the basic rules.
Okay.
Now, that's not faking it.
Now, hold on.
Griffin.
Now.
I know Hold football, on. By the way. I watch football. I know how to football. I'm not trying to represent like I don't understand the rules of football. I'm saying I don't want this article to teach me.
I've seen football in the background of a couple of Justin's B-reels, and it's an exciting era.
It's a peek into Justin's life that I never
football
expected.
Era. Mm-hmm. I mean, what they are defining is the basic rules. That I think is sort of a sliding scale. I think that you should at least know that the ball is supposed to go to the other guy's side. And if it does, you get 7 points or 6 points.
Only step one should be able to visually identify football versus other sports.
It lasts long. The field is so fucking big. It's crazy
how big this thing is. Jason Parkin posted a TikTok. How in a 3-hour televised sport football game, how many minutes of actual football are being put? Like not like
it's 1 hour.
Not
I mean,
game
60,
clock.
Yeah?
Not game clock. Not game clock. I mean people actively playing football, tossing the ball around, running, playing football.
If I had to guess, 25 to 28 minutes.
80.
12. It's boring. There's 12 minutes of actual shit happening, and the rest is talking in ads in a 3-hour telecast.
Yeah.
12 minutes of football.
All right. So you don't need to know that, though. I think it goes into
I like football. I'm saying it's wild.
It is wild.
It's actually why I, as the type of brain that I have, like football compared to basketball. Basketball, so much happening all the time. Yeah, yeah. Constantly happening.
Check out for good stretches. It's got some rest periods built in.
Football, 12 minutes spread out over 3 hours. That is exactly my level of concentration.
Yeah, I would love it.
Baseball's like white noise. That's
I would love a 12-minute long football game. If they're like, all right, gang, the Ravens are playing the Oilers out there. This Oilers is not. That'd be fucking sick.
The Baltimore Ravens mainline the football into me. I don't have a lot of time. I need the Quibi of football. I need Quibball.
Just like they score a touchdown and immediately start running to the other side.
Great. I don't even need the punts, frankly.
I need Katzenberg to come out and be like, I got a plan to save Quibi. It's going to be, we've got an exclusive multi-year, multi-billion dollar deal with the NFL.
The field should be 10,000 yards long.
You play from one end to the other?
Both teams start at the middle, and whoever gets the ball furthest down their zone in 12 minutes via any... Am I making rugby?
Yeah,
am I inventing...
Give them two balls, one for each team. They just start running.
Yeah.
And however far they can make it, whoever runs the farthest...
I gotta read this kick-ass little carve-out here in the rules segment, because it says, lots of the sport's little rules change yearly, and even ardent fans can have a hard time keeping up. Chances are, if there is a new rule, the commentators will explain it to the audience, possibly even several times. So keep listening to them. I love the idea of you watching a televised football game with your friends and not getting that a first down happened and then being like, must be one of those newfangled rules.
They're restarting change that?
You can't hit the guy when he doesn't have the ball. Soft NFL rules are new. I hate them.
No, I've been watching a lot of college football. It must be, sorry, I sometimes forget to switch over in my brain.
Yeah, that's assuming
the professional.
Yeah. Find out a few players' names. If you want to look like you know what you're talking about during a football game, you should probably know a few of the people involved. Quarterbacks are usually the most popular and famous players involved. The knowing the names of the coaches and a few other, no way are you going to make me remember the names of coaches.
Not going to happen.
Okay.
Not going to happen.
Listen, come to Travis to actually learn how to fake it. Call their numbers out like their nicknames for them. You're like, come on, number 15.
That's
15.
Great.
Come on.
12's kicking ass out there today.
The names are on there, guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why you're avoiding saying the name.
Yeah.
You can also just give them your own nicknames.
Mm-hmm.
Like Striker. Where you're just like,
there goes Striker.
Striker.
Holy shit. Yeah. Do you mean... Patrick Mahomes?
Yeah.
Strike. Yeah. Do you mean Strider?
Strider. Yeah, there's Strider. There's Bilbo. Gandalf, the catch wizard.
Oh, damn. There goes Gandalf again. Look at that Gandalf out there running so fast like Gandalf did.
I have practical advice that I think would work. What if you get super drilled in on one player?
That's
cool. And learn everything about the kicker. And that, so, like, you only care about it. And when the kicker comes out, all of a sudden, you're a font of knowledge.
Yeah.
No one's going to suspect
it's
Sliver. You know, we've taken a core sample. This core sample says they know everything about football.
It doesn't even have to be a current player. Because you could say, you know who that guy reminds me of? Dion.
That's fucking Deion
Sanders.
Good, Griffin.
You could say, what's great about Deion Sanders, football and baseball, whichever sport you're watching, you can say, that's shadows. I'm getting a whiff of Neon Deion off that guy.
Oh, I like that.
The shadow of Neon Deion out there.
You can also throw out things along those lines of like, well, they haven't been this good in years.
Yeah.
And for some reason, that's always true.
Yeah.
Or saying something like, this feels like the start of a dynasty. Always true.
Yeah.
Like these are things, only if at the start of the season. You don't want to employ that. Let me be clear. Last game of the season when they're like, I don't know, like 3-12 or whatever, you don't want to be like, this is the start of a dynasty.
Let's make this practical for our friends at home. I think you have to know at least, if you want to keep this ruse going, 4 football players' names. And I know that's a lot, but you can't say if somebody throws like
per team or just total?
Total.
Thank
total.
God.
Because the main thrower, the main catcher.
The main catcher, the main runner, the main hitter. If you can't say like
you don't need to know the hitter. Nobody knows anybody's name on the defensive line in the real world. Nobody.
Football guys definitely do.
I guess are we faking like expertise or just like
the good news is Refrigerator Perry?
William Refrigerator Perry, yes.
Was a defensive player, I think. Fuck, we're showing our asses even in doing jokes about the thing. Research the teams playing. No, thank you.
That's learning about it.
That is a level of fidelity that you should not fuck around with. You do not need that. You do not need that. I think you get mad about the refs. That's a classic, right? If the referees stop, you just yell, let them play. And I
think that's a good one.
Let them play.
This is why I think the vocabulary.
You say, let them play. And you say, NFL, no fun left. And then everybody around will be like, yes, pound it. And then you like go to the bathroom and lay on the floor for about a half hour.
Still as you can.
It's just like, okay.
I think you can get away with a lot of faking it by just learning some key vocabulary. Like if you're like, oh, good drive, right? Yeah. That feels so right, doesn't it?
A good drive.
Learn when the first down happens. Because if you can say like, oh, that's the first down right there.
No. That's too much to learn. Once you get in the first downs, that stuff's all confusing. You don't want to worry about any of that stuff. It's fundamental, but it's too hard.
It's too hard.
It's too hard to know when they draw a line with computers now. And if they cross that line, you just say first down.
But they get to do it four times, but sometimes they do it again. It doesn't make any sense. I don't want to learn a bunch of shit about the rules of football, but I will find some trivia to discuss. These can be obscure facts about the game. Did you guys know? Or maybe a crazy story involving one or more of the players. Absolutely not. But the fun facts about football. Did you know the stitches on a football are made from violin bowstrings? Not a lot of people know about that.
Well, the stitches on a football, it's one lace done all the way through. So you can tell.
No, actually, that's how it used to be when they made balls out of, hide and stuff like that. But now it's 3D printed. So...
Another one you could throw out, someone gets hurt. Oh, a lot of injuries this year. Always
so many
true.
Injuries. Yeah.
Always true. Because football is an overly unnecessarily violent game.
Yeah,
so even
sure.
if it's the first game of the season,
yeah.
a lot of injuries this year.
A lot of big names getting taken out by football in football.
Mm.
Listen.
Did you hear about the guy that had a football thrown through his chest last week?
You didn't hear about that? Google it. I'm going to go to the bathroom while you Google it. Listen to the commentators. These people are paid to explain the game to the audience, so take advantage of that. That's awesome. And he gets a first down. I said it first. The guy came after me.
This is why I hope they said what they did on Nickelodeon for the Super Bowl and have Patrick and SpongeBob commenting through every game. Because then I would love to have a very one-sided disagreement with SpongeBob's calls where I'm like, no, SpongeBob, that was not. I disagree, SpongeBob. Because then you seem like you know a lot about football and hate SpongeBob.
How do you guys think they deal with players who are injured on the field?
In the SpongeBob broadcast?
They have to turn it all off. You can't have fucking Squidward behind a man whose career has just ended in front of him. Like, get up, you wiener. Like, you can't do it.
you need an extra leg? I'll give you one of mine.
Oh, no, he's been down too long. He's getting the cat dog leg hump. Oh, cat dog.
No.
Oh, there's Larry the Lobster dancing behind him. It's all better now.
But what if Plankton comes out and he's like, I did it. I got another one. I've built
an android to hide in its brain, and now I'll take your place in the game.
Make occasional comments. This is starting to reach expert level, like subterfuge, because I feel like you could probably just sit there and like, all right. I guess maybe that's what they're talking about, but they specifically are saying, It's best to keep your comments as generic as possible. Something like a "what a play" or "great move" can contribute to the conversation without having to actually say anything specific. Now, I will say, if someone gets injured on the field and you go "what a play," or
that's where you just yell "got him."
Yeah, somebody gets tackled into a camera person who then crumples like a can, and you go "what a big play!"
It's
wow.
It's good. You should understand, though, before you do that, you should understand what team you like and the other team people
that
like.
That is, yeah.
Because you should only say anything when the team you like is throwing the ball around. Like, because you could say "what a play" when the bad guys do something and everyone in the room will be like, "Judas, like, we don't like you anymore."
If you preface it with, "listen, I have to admit, you got to admit, good play," right? I think you can get away with that. But here's my question for you based on this article, boys. Yeah. How many times do you think you could employ the phrase "great move" before people are like, "hey,
I was just thinking textbook in my head." That was the
textbook. Like, oh, textbook. That's good. You're thinking, so we're coming up with the best generic thing to say at a football party that you can drop maybe a dozen times without people clocking it.
Yeah.
Textbook is going to get flagged, I'm afraid, Juice.
You think textbook more than classic?
What about "there it is"?
There
fundamentals.
It is.
"There it is" implies that it is a good thing that has happened. You may not have that awareness.
Okay, Juice, but if we strip that down to that, then the only thing that works is
they could fuck up. Like, textbook. They're always fucking up like this.
Yeah.
What about "tighten up"?
Tighten up. Come on, guys. Get it in there.
And then when they do something good, you say, "that's tight. You guys are really tight. Hey, loosen up a little
bit, guys.
Have some fun out there."
When the team I like doesn't have the ball, the only thing the nuance of the game is completely lost on me. The only thing I'll ever say at that point is, "all right, big stop.
Oh yeah. Turnover. Come on, we need a turnover.
Getting this going too. I did it instinctively, but like getting a little clap going shows you're really into it.
And maybe like a readjusting your seat. Like, okay, let's get come on.
This is a big one.
This is a big one.
This is a big one. Works. Always, because it's all they only play 12 minutes of the sport. It's always
we need
pretty
a big stop.
Big.
Big stop here. Come on,
or a big go.
Come on.
I think just a big one is preferable. One thing that this article doesn't mention. I mean, it does say find out which team everybody's cheering for and sort of focus your efforts on them,
which is
very good. What they don't tell you is that some of the times the jerseys look mad similar.
Yeah,
extremely. Yeah. When I started watching Blues hockey in 2017, and we watched a lot of it because we had a newborn and didn't have much else to do.
And he loved hockey.
He freaking loved hockey. And the number of times that the Blues were playing a team with blue in their jersey and they would score a goal, and I'd be like, "yes, baby." And Rachel would be like, "that's actually the bad guy's team." And it's embarrassing every time. They don't warn you about that. So you just always have to keep your head on a swivel.
I think, by the way, football, I was thinking about this, the quarterback should have special colored jerseys so that everybody knows not to hit him too hard, right? Like goalies have special jerseys European football, in real football. And so why don't they give special colored jerseys and like extra padding and maybe a pillow on their front and on their butt for quarterbacks? Or better yet, put them in a pod that can't be reached.
I mean, they wear special little pads from what I understand. So you should be able to identify the quarterback wears little pads.
They need bigger pads though. They're precious.
But they can't throw.
Oh, spikes is awesome. Cool. Airbags. What about that? You get hit, they just inflate out and knock all the defenders away.
They should be on a series of rip cords so that after they throw the ball, they can be pulled upward into the sky so that no one can hurt them.
That'd be cool. Robotic avatars.
Guys, we got to stop making better versions of football. If it was this cool, everybody would watch it. You know what I mean? Like, I need these explainers.
I say put the quarterback up on like a 3-foot-tall pillar so he can't be reached.
Yeah.
He can get down off it if he wants to run.
Yeah.
Then he's making the choice to make himself vulnerable.
I don't want to. That's all the football I've got in me.
Touchdown. What a touchdown. We're going to take a break to go to the Money Zone, and then we'll be right back with you right after this. It can be really overwhelming trying to find clothes, especially if you don't really know what your style is or your maybe in a transitional period, you got an event coming up, you're not sure what's appropriate. The answer to all these questions, my friends, is Citrix. We all on the show have used it and loved it, and it is a service where you're going to get a stylist that understands your look, your vibe. They're going to ask you questions. How much you want to spend on shoes? What kind of hat do you enjoy? What's appropriate for your workplace, et cetera, et cetera. What events you got? You tell them all these things, budget preferences, that's a big one. And they're going to send you boxes.
I've got a new, Justin, you've just inspired me. I have a new tagline for Stitch Fix.
Well, why don't we save it for the end, like traditional taglines. Yeah, sit on it.
I thought we would vote on it.
Now, don't forget it.
Okay, hold on.
Come here, moneymaker. Okay. And they send you a box of five different pieces. You try on what you like. The stuff you don't like, you send back, no problem.
Just got an exchange. I got a great new denim jacket. It came. I was like, oh, I love this so much. But I've been working out. I've been worshiping at the Steel Temple, the Iron God, who protects me in all things. And my shoulders, my lats getting too beefy. And I got a bigger size. And now it's my new favorite jacket.
Justin and I should get one of those this episode, too, where we get to talk about how fucking strong and huge we are.
Okay. All right.
I think it's fair that we all get one per episode. I think it's kind of wild to do it in the middle of the advertisement, but just know we're going to cash that in too.
And no, I've just noticed that most of my clothes don't fit. And so I've
because of how huge you are. Now, Trav, you're borrowing. Next week, you don't get to do one of these now because you
used two of them. No, that was the same one. That was an extension of the same
one. All right.
Yeah, got him.
Anyway. Style that makes you feel as good as you look. Get started today at stitchfix.com/brother. That's stitchfix.com/brother.
Stitch Fix, service with a style.
Wow. Service it hits so much better, Trav.
That's pretty good, waited. Actually. Yeah. Hey, you know the best way to learn a language?
Yeah.
I would say by popping some kind of like fish or bug or something in your ear that lets you just like know it.
I was going to say nano pills, like bots that are inside of pills that plug into your brain at specific junctions to teach you languages. That technology.
Mine is a reference, though, because the Babel fish is what they put in their ear.
Mine is also a reference.
To what?
Oh, no.
It's Thimble Shanks or whatever.
It's Kimble Froggit. But Babbel's also a really good way to learn a language because it lets you sort of immerse yourself virtually in a language that helps you learn how to speak it every day. You don't have to pay hundreds of dollars for private tutors or waste hours on apps that don't really help you speak the language. Mm. Babbel's got these quick 10-minute lessons handcrafted by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks.
I'm a Babbel user myself, and I just went to a foreign country and had absolutely no problems communicating. Yeah. And that's a huge endorsement, I think, for Babbel.
Yeah.
I used Babbel to brush up on my Spanish that I learned in high school and college and that didn't use for a very long time for a trip last year. And it is super great. It's easy to pick up and use. I think we're dancing around saying on the turlet, but like
I mean, but when it's implied.
Yeah.
It's implied. When it's turlet time, I'm removing something from my body. I want to add something to it, too. Yes. Like a one in, one out.
Yes. And they tried to call it potty talk and did not. It would not work.
Let me hear your potty talk. Here's a special limited time deal for our listeners. Right now, get 50% off a one-time payment for a lifetime Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/mybrother. Get 50% off at babbel.com/mybrother, spelled B-A-B-B-E-L. .com/mybrother. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Maybe. But if you tell me with us, enough said.
I'm Emily Fleming.
And I'm Jordan Morris.
We're real comedy writers.
And real friends.
And real fucking cheapskates.
We say, why subscribe to expensive streaming services when you can stream tons of insane movies online for free?
As long as you're fine with 25 randomly inserted super loud car insurance commercials.
On our new podcast, Free With Ads, we review streaming movies from the darkest corner of the internet's bargain bin.
From the good to the weird, compared to the holy shit, look at Jean-Claude Van Damme's big old butt.
Free with Ads, a free podcast about free movies that's worth the price of admission.
Every Tuesday on MaximumFun.org or your favorite pod spot.
Hello, everyone out there. Thank you for coming to our service.
Yes.
We are ready to heal you. We are Ross and Carrie. We are faith healers. Yes,
yes,
you there.
Yes, sir. You have a spirit of...
not listening to enough podcasts.
We have the solution for that.
Oh, we can cure you.
You should listen to Oh No, Ross and Carrie. Hallelujah. Mm. It's on Maximum Fun.
I couldn't have said it better myself.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, you there. Gladys.
A spirit of boredom?
Oh my goodness, we have the solution for you. It is to listen to the podcast,
Oh No, Ross and Carrie.
Here's another question. Hey there, boyos. I don't know.
Care for the familiarity.
I don't know about that. I gotta think about it. So here's the sitch. I work at an office where they buy our lunch every day in exchange for working during lunch. I absolutely love this, as lunch is expensive, and I don't mind eating while I work. I think what
getting
you should
paid
mind
to eat,
is,
not bad.
I think what you should mind is working while you eat. But we are a very small office, max 4 people, which is it on a given day, max 4 people. And when it comes time for lunch recommendations, one guy every day without fail suggests. Request Jason's Deli. Same order every day. I let it slide for a few weeks as I was the newbie, but I couldn't take it anymore. There's only so much Jason's Deli one can eat. One day, I threw out a different option. The next day, he went at 9 a.m. and suggested Jason's for lunch. I like the guy. I don't want to make a thing here in a small office, but how should I go about addressing this situation? That's from Loathsome Lunch Lass in Lower Houston.
Is Do they it? Pay you for that lunch work? Do they let you off an hour early?
I mean,
as your rep, like you I've get, got some questions.
You yeah. just work through lunch. This does sound like an OSHA violation, but whatever.
Yeah.
There's many Jason's Delis that you could choose from. Maybe in the, I'm just looking at this in the Houston area, there's 3 that I can see. So maybe just say, can we try a different
Jason's?
Different Jason's today.
I heard the one down on Montrose is actually the one Jason works at. And so that one's going to be good.
I think outside the context of this question, the side that's just popped into my brain is this other employee having to every day suggest Jason's Deli like it's just occurred to him.
Yeah.
Like,
You know what would be good?
I was thinking of a place earlier. What was it you mentioned? You said it. What was it?
Justin's Diner?
Something.
You know what would go down smooth today? I heard it on the radio. Yeah, it's 9 a.m. I know the office doesn't open until 10, but you know what would be so good today in 4 hours? Jason's Deli. Have you tried it?
Jason's Deli would go down really smooth. I mean,
you could get into work at 8:59.
I mean, you got one up, you know, always one step ahead. That's a good option.
This is going to end with you two in the parking lot in your cars at 2 a.m. setting timers. That is a tall sandwich.
It's a big sandwich. I just gave a picture of the sandwich at Jason's Deli. I'm seeing some ruffle cut chips just the way I like them.
Pickle, it's a sandwich. This is a deli sandwich.
To give to my wife, a bowl of fruit. I'm loving the look of this. I don't blame him for wanting Jason's. I want some Jason's right now. I got to be honest. When I'm in the Houston area.
It does clarify not just Jason's Deli, the same order every day.
Well, that may be their steez.
I don't begrudge them that. But I do think that there's so many good meals out there. So many wonderful sandwiches, even at Jason's Deli.
Yes. Now, you just because they get the same order every day doesn't mean you have to.
That's true.
Eat your way through the Jason's Deli menu, document it on TikTok, bada bing, bada boom, you're famous.
This would be a problem for me because there's typically maybe one sandwich that I could stomach at a place that is weird. There's usually like one
You're
sandwich.
The other coworker in this, aren't
you,
Justin?
Yeah, I'm the Jason's Deli. I'm Jason's Deli. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm Jason's Deli. Yeah, thank you. I'll have it again. Perfect.
It's great.
Thank you.
Okay.
This is good. I like it. I like the sandwich. I don't want to get a different sandwich. This is a good sandwich. I have the same sandwich every day.
Here's what you do. Monday, order Jason's Deli. Tell your boss, order four more of that same thing for Justin.
Yeah.
And then we'll order from different places and just keep giving him the Jason's Deli sandwich.
Boy, this pastrami sandwich usually smells better than it does right now.
A dry aged
guys,
pastrami
listen,
sandwich.
You know me. I fucking love Jason's Deli, but this sandwich smells. Have you guys noticed that the Thursday sandwiches smell off? Do they have bad beef on Thursdays, maybe?
Also, the fruit flies are a lot more prevalent
really,
today.
Really bad. This pickle is beige, and
okay, what about this? What about you go to a phone at the office and you call Jason's Deli and you say, "Hey, what's up? It's me from the office, and I just want to say you guys fucking suck.
Michael Scott?
This is, no, from the office of that orders everything. And I just want to say his sandwich is shitty, and you guys are shitty. Fuck you guys. Fuck you.
Why,
fuck
Justin?
You guys.
You're trying to get cut off?
You're trying to get cut off. They're like, who is this? That guy? Fuck you. No way. You remember what you did? Remember you called yesterday and said our pickles are limp. You said we have limp pickles. We're not going to sell it to you anymore.
You said
it deserves it.
You said you have limp pickles, and then you said fuck you like 15 times.
And you said it fuck under your breath like your word people in the office were going to hear you.
And then you started saying limp biscuit and giggling to yourself. What's wrong with you? Are you
what's
okay?
Going on?
Hey, listen. Hey, is this Jason's Deli? Yeah, I'm going to call back in like 10 minutes and I'm going to order a sandwich, but I don't mean it.
No.
And I'm not going to sound like me at all. I'm going to be doing a funny, well, a normal voice that's different from my own. But this is a funny bit. And you tell me we're out of sandwiches and we'll never have more sandwiches again.
Yeah.
What? Yeah, it's a prank you're pulling on me. I'll forget in the next 10 minutes. Don't
Jason
worry about
quit. It. Jason quit. Jason quit. Jason's doing other stuff now, so we don't do his sandwiches anymore.
I am troubled by the fact that you make yourself infinitely assassinatable. With this kind of pattern, this is what Ocean's 12 would be looking for, right? He gets the same sandwich every day, so we put Dookie pills in his sandwich, so he had to Dookie all day.
Oh,
every time he goes to El Ranchito, he gets less chips.
He gets
so we just need to
chips.
We need to look for the bowl that only has a third of the chips for less hungry boys.
We have to put more poison on fewer chips to get the dosage.
Guys,
right.
What I'm saying is, I order a couple dips and then the meals. And then we all get chips with the meals and then a bag of chips with each of the dips. So I'm coming home with, this is not like a quirk. I'm coming home with 8 bags of tortilla chips. It's too many. And I don't want to waste all their tortilla chips. That's all I'm saying.
I don't want to get too personal.
Thank you.
Ever. But
I don't
with
know
anyone.
With
I don't
anyone
know this, man.
Under any saying. Circumstances. But
I didn't know Griffin had moved to DC until this episode when Justin brought it up.
But I will say there's a part of me that is very kind of jealous as someone who's worked from home his entire adult life, basically, of eating outside food for lunch of any stripe. I feel like my lunch game is very pragmatic, is very utilitarian.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Same.
And it's not, I would be thrilled to eat Jason's Deli every day, I think.
I have tried, by the way, to sometimes order lunch for myself here at the house. And I feel like a kid wearing dad's shoes. They know, you know, they know that I'm pretending to be a big office businessman.
Wait, who knows?
They know when they
the
bring
20-year-old delivering your sandwich?
Yeah, man. This dude got one sandwich and chips to his house in the middle of the workday. Like, this is not a businessman. Why is he trying to have lunch? Why is he having a power lunch? He lives in his house. He's in his house.
He's in his house where food lives. Yeah.
It's not even a wild lunch. It's just like a wrap from Subway or something. You know what I mean? Yeah. Feels like a trick I'm playing on myself.
Yeah. So that was a little sad window.
Yeah, I don't know what to say about that.
There's a draft in here. Let me just close the sad window that we just opened up for everyone.
The worst one I ever got was one time at the rat place, I got a smoothie with it, right? Like a healthy smoothie, one of those health smoothies. And I'm drinking it like in my house.
Yeah.
It's like, yep, good choices today, businessman. We're turning over a new leaf at the office. Hey, guys, it's me talking to my fucking stuffed animals. We're doing a jump rope competition for my kids' charity. Hey, does anybody want to buy Girl Scout cookies? My one cat, other cat, no takers, postman. You want to buy cookies for my kid's school? I'm a business guy. Softball league, anyone?
Just me.
Just me. One man pickleball.
Tickleball, more like. Thanks for listening to what? My brother. It's the Duchess of Dickleball was the name of that TV series.
It ran for 13 seasons.
Thank you so much for listening to our podcast, My Brother and Me.
You're welcome.
The end. What if we could just end it like that?
No, we can't. We have a wish to Fungalore.
Yes,
and a big announcement.
Yes.
Which one do you guys want to do first?
Probably the Fungalore thing last.
Do, have done it for many years. Yeah, for sure. That sounds good.
Big announcement. Big announcement. Chicago. We're doing two live shows in Chicago in April. April 24th, doing My Brother and Me. April 25th, doing The Adventure Zone. And then April 26th through the 28th, we're going to be at C2E2. The schedule is to be announced. But
we're going
to
be doing all our best Chicago jokes.
Yeah. Our deep dish jokes.
Hot dog. Deep dish.
The bear.
The bear. Lots of bear. Dave Matthews Band pooping bus.
Classics.
In the river.
The Cubs and the White Sox are going to be there.
We are doing the Three Blues Brothers as well. We should mention we'll be doing the Three Blues Brothers, our tribute to the Blues Brothers.
Our three-man, one-man show.
Guys, the Three Blues Brothers, a tribute to the Blues Brothers, is such a good name that I may actually make us do it.
There's something there. Not for these Chicago shows, though. Don't worry. No. We're not going to beta test any more high-concept shows for a live audience
this will
ever
be our
again.
Our first 20 Fungalore live show, and what that means, I have
no fucking clue, man. Yeah. It's gonna
but
be
you can
no
get
clue.
Your C2E2 badges now. They're on sale. But you do not need a badge to attend the live show. The tickets for the live show go on sale this Friday, March 1st at 10 a.m. local time. For more information and ticket links, go to bit.ly/McElroyTours. If you're listening to this on Monday the 26th, or you could watch the video on demand later, I'm going to be streaming a Dungeons & Dragons one-shot tonight on my Twitch channel, twitch.tv/TheTravisMcElroy at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Alo Clark is DMing. I'm playing as well as Tybee Diskin, Verona Blue, and Gabe Hicks. It's going to be super fun. And even if you don't make it tonight, like I said, the video on demand will be available on the channel, twitch.tv/TheTravisMcElroy.
We got merch over at macroymerch.com, including Sometimes It Rains in Trav Nation t-shirt and some great Fungalore.
I got mine ordered.
Stuff on there, too.
Me, too. Well,
What?
And there will be new stuff up March 1st, so
yeah,
go check
true.
It out then.
Keep an eye on it. Thanks to Montaigne also for these for theme song, My Life is Better With You. I really like it a lot.
Can I read the wish this time? Because I really feel this one in my heart, and I was just
Absolutely.
Thinking about
sure,
it.
Sure.
Actually.
Okay, ready?
Please bring back Altoid Sours. Any flavor would be great. But I miss the tangerine most of all.
Wow.
My name is Justin McElroy.
I'm Travis McElroy.
I'm Griffin McElroy, same.
It's been my brother and me. Kiss your dad square on the lips.
Maximum Fun,
a worker-owned network
of artist-owned shows, supported
directly
by you.